Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the stimulating program initiative for retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Director of Community Programs for the Orthodox Union, and it's my honor to coordinate and host this program. SPIRIT was started several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for retirees, not yet retirees, empty nesters, baby boomers, sandwich generation parents, and seniors, everybody who's looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Now, since everyone is still sheltering in because of the pandemic, SPIRIT has become the perfect way for everyone to engage in a virtual setting. Today, we're going to discuss other places that are appropriate for mature adults like us to consider when thinking about moving. Previously, we spoke about two communities in Florida, and recently, Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, there are many opportunities for relocation nowadays for Orthodox Jews. Today, we're going to discuss Fort Lee, New Jersey, and Baltimore, Maryland. And we are pleased to have with us in the Spirit Forum, this is Sarah Brait of Baltimore, and Dr. Yitzchak and Ellen Berger of Fort Lee. They'll be joining us today, and we thank them so much for spending our time with us. So just to give you a little background on our guests, Mrs. Sarah Brait and her husband, Dr. Moshe Brait, moved to Baltimore 3 years ago from Cleveland, where they raised their family. They moved to be closer to their children and grandchildren and for a job opportunity for Moshe, who works as a radiologist. Aside from staying home for their children, Kanainahara, Sarah has worked as a lawyer and a career coach and in Kiru. Currently in Baltimore, she teaches the women at WITS, and she is co-founder of JWOW, a new organization for midlife women. And we'll be hearing more about that a little bit later as well. Dr. Yitzchak and Ellen Berger lived in Jamaica Estates, Queens, before moving to Fort Lee. Yitzchak worked as a psychologist in a variety of settings until he retired 15 years ago. He currently teaches as an adjunct in a master's level psychology program at NYU. Ellen has master's degrees in biology, genetics, and an MBA. She managed her brother's and son's medical practice until her retirement a year ago. She currently still does billing for her son's practice and often functions as a doting grandmother. So we're so happy to have the Bergers and Mrs. Brait with us today. Okay, so I have a few questions for everybody and we'll just kind of go back and forth. So I guess the first question I'm going to pose to the Bergers is, how did you pick the community? How did you pick Fort Lee? And is this full-time for you? You know, you're not still in other places.
Well, this is full-time for us. This was a big move, but very important for us because my children moved to Englewood and my grandchildren live in Englewood. And Jamaica Estates is a wonderful, wonderful place. It's a beautiful community, but getting here from Englewood was very difficult. It involved two highways and two bridges and lots of traffic. And I made it my plan. I adjusted my timing at work so that I could spend one day a week with my grandchildren. And as the years went by and they started coming home later and later, it became more and more difficult. So I decided that we were going to find a house in Teaneck so that we could move closer to the children. At that point, my son, who lives here, said, you know, Ma, at your age, why do you really need the responsibility of a house? He said, all of my friends, most of my friends, sold their homes, and they moved to this place called Fort Lee. There's a shul right across the street from where they live, and they love it. Take a look. So we did. And here we are.
I just wanted to add to that for Ellen, it was very, very hard. She loved the house. She had been living there for 45 years, and she loved the neighborhood, and she kept saying she really doesn't want to live in an apartment. And then we spent Shabbos here, and we saw some apartments, and she thought, you know, I could really live here. The community was just a wonderful place to move into. You're muted, Judy.
There's noise outside, unfortunately. I hope you're not hearing it. Sarah, can you share us with us your experience?
So we moved to Baltimore because we wanted to be closer to family. We weren't dealing with a two bridges distance. We were dealing with many hundreds of miles. So we have family in Baltimore and fan kids and in New Jersey and Lakewood. And, you know, so that was certainly part of it. My husband is, we're a little different because we're in that second category you mentioned of not yet retired. So my husband got a very nice opportunity, Baruch Hashem, to come to Baltimore, to work in Baltimore. So we're very happy. I have to say the warmer temperatures were an attraction that was very nice. So it just, there really wasn't a question once you put the whole picture together. Also, Baltimore is very accepting and very non-judgmental community. It's really wonderful. And the Rabbanim, I'll talk about that later with COVID, but the Rabbanim work together. There's just people just accept each other in a way that was very meaningful and nice for my husband and for me. It's just funny what you say about moving from, we moved from a house to an apartment. And it was a big house, Baruch Hashem, and to an apartment wasn't such an easy move. We always say like we're like a little too old to be starting again in a new house, but we're a little too young to be starting to be going to an apartment. So we're kind of a little bit in limbo because we still have single children who want to come home and there isn't as much room. So that's like a little bit of a wrinkle on that theme of you know, how you choose the exact residence that you live in, aside from the location. Yeah. Can't hear you.
Sorry, there's a noise outside. I hope you weren't all hearing it. They're mowing outside. Okay, so let me just go further on what the residence looked like. So in Baltimore, I assume there's a variety of different types of places.
Yeah, so I mean, Cleveland Heights, which is where we lived in Cleveland, is suburbia, not many apartment buildings. Baltimore, the Frum community is located near where there are many apartment buildings and also homes. So you have both. So we actually live right near a street called Park Heights Avenue, which if you've been in Baltimore, you know. And there are many apartment buildings along there. In fact, there's one apartment building that I think you can't even live there if you are under 55. You know, and there's assisted living. There are many opportunities, but yeah, we actually ended up in a very unusual apartment, which we're so grateful because it's got its own entrance into the building. It's a private entrance. So whatever, it happens to be, it's unusual. So Baruch Hashem, we're very grateful that worked out for us, but there are many, many apartment buildings, condos and yeah.
And you said there's also kosher assisted living?
Yeah. I mean, Baltimore is not, there's a Weinberg Foundation that's based in Baltimore. I mean, if people are somewhat familiar with the milieu of supporting the older population, the Weinberg Foundation is known, and there's a Meyerberg Foundation. There are a lot of opportunities. I really weren't looking into them, so I can't speak for them. But if anyone is looking into Baltimore, yes, that definitely exists.
It's an Ellen. You want to share with us what you have in Fort Lee?
One of the draws of Fort Lee is the fabulous housing stock. I don't think maybe there's one person or two people. There are houses all around, but our community is composed of five or six apartment buildings that cluster within. Some of them are across the street from the shul. Some of them are a couple of short blocks away, but everybody lives in these apartment buildings. And they're both condos or co-ops. There are different buildings. Some are condos, some are co-ops. And the apartments are really just fabulous. I mean, we had a really nice house in Jamaica Estates, Baruch Hashem, but we have a wonderful apartment here. We have four bedrooms in our apartment, and it's not much smaller than the house was.
Wow, four bedrooms. Is that, now you said you have co-ops, you have condos. I assume there's also rentals if people want?
Yes, well, one of the advantages of a condo as opposed to a co-op is people can rent out. So people can rent within the condos. And so many people in the congregation in the Kehillah do.
Uh-huh. When you talk about, certainly we know Young Israel Fort Lee, but is that the only shul in your area or are there others?
There are two other shuls. There's a Sephardic shul a few blocks away. And then there's a Chabad that's further over. I'm not sure exactly how far, maybe a mile or so away. But primarily, the people in our buildings are in our shul.
Mm-hmm. Is there any specific over, as Ellen mentioned, like over 55 only places or any assisted livings, anything like that?
There are no places that are going to stop you from moving in if you happen to be under 55. That is not a problem here. But most of our community is more retirees.
And there's no assisted living in Fort Lee. However, Teaneck is 10 or 15 minutes away, and I'm sure that there are assisted living places there.
Once you're in that area. And you said you have children in Englewood. And how far is Englewood from Fort Lee?
5 minutes in a car, and probably 40 minutes if you want to walk.
Oh, so you could actually technically do it on
the walk over on Rosh Hashanah. They walk over if they, you know, they have little ones who like to be in their own place. So over.
We were married later in life, and my children live in Passaic and Lakewood and Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael is a little bit far, but Passaic and Lakewood, even though they're not as close as Englewood, it's still much, much closer than having to cross the bridge.
Being on the other side of the bridge, I totally get that. Yes, anytime you have to go to or from New York, it's always a project. Yes, I absolutely get that. Okay. Now, each of you, all of you mentioned having family in your, you know, close by in your areas. And so, Sarah, that was the main reason that brought you to Baltimore?
The opportunity came up for my husband, but we obviously weren't looking for opportunities in places that weren't, you know, we only consider places. There was something in Arkansas, we didn't really consider it. I mean, it's a pleasure. You know, after the first year, we were proud and happy to say that all the grandchildren actually knew us, not just from, occasional visits on Yontif and Simchas, which are always so hectic, but just for a regular, for Chumash party or for just any old Sunday or something like that. We weren't able to take advantage of it as much as we would have liked because my husband's working full time, but it's certainly, yeah.
Your children are close enough for Shabbos walk or no?
Yeah, the ones here, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, well, anything is closer than Cleveland.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
And obviously, that's obviously what brought you to Fort Lee was your family.
There are many other reasons that we're there now, that we love it, but without the kids wanting to move, we never would have moved.
And that's why you chose that area. Let me ask, I'm going to ask both, all of you, for other friends you have in the building, are there people that you know of that don't have children nearby, and what are their experiences? Is that just extremely difficult? Would you, you know, certainly recommend people only to move where they would have a family support system? So I'll stay with that. Ellen and Yitz, do you know of people that don't have children nearby?
Most of the people have children nearby. There certainly are some that don't. The other draws are, again, the beautiful, beautiful apartments, which are a fraction of what a similar apartment would cost in Manhattan, and the proximity to both other areas in New Jersey and also to Manhattan. I can walk to the bridge in 10 minutes, and I can either walk over the bridge in another 20 minutes or there are buses and shuttles that take you right over with the subway and buses right on the other side. So to get to NYU, it takes me less time from here than it did from Jamaica States. Ellen used to work on the Upper East Side. It was much closer and much easier by car from here than from Jamaica States.
Mm-hmm. Ellen, Sarah, do you have friends that, let's say, don't have family nearby? Do they have, you know,
there are many. Baltimore ends up being a draw for being on the East Coast. So a lot of singles, younger and older, end up coming because it's for dating, let's say. And then they could be on the East Coast, but not have to live in the major New York area if that's something they don't want to do or for expenses. So there are quite a few people who come here without family, but I mean, you know, this we always find family, but there are many people that, I don't know, I couldn't tell you the numbers because Baltimore is huge and I really don't know the numbers. I know of a few people that maybe would have come without family here.
And they make it work.
I don't, I'm not a fly in the wall there. So I hope they do. There are many opportunities to get involved. There's an empty nester in the shul that Rabbi Hauer used to be at. It's B'nai Jacob Shari Zion. They call it B'nai Jacob usually for short. Anyway, there's an empty nester Shabbos luncheon that's like every 4, 5, 6 weeks or so. Not since COVID, obviously, right. but there are, so let's say, and that's on Park Heights Avenue that I referred to, which is, so it's fairly easy walking distance for the people who live in the apartment buildings or condos that are on Park Heights. That's an example of the kinds of programs, you know, we noticed. I'll just a quick thing is that when we had moved here, we got invited out, Baruch Hashem, you know, to different people for meals. Almost every family we went to had, or an older couple, let's say, had another single divorcee, widower, somebody on their block whom they had over regularly for a Shabbos meal. The people in Baltimore take care of people in Baltimore.
It's beautiful.
It's
Anel, do you want anything you want to add?
Fort Lee is very similar to that in that it's a very warm and welcoming community. And a lot of people who live here have been here for 2 years, 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is, shorter periods of time. They are very, very welcoming to new people who move in. The first year that we were here, we had invitations for dinner practically every week. And while we were still unpacking our packages, we were able to go out and meet people. And it was just really, it just felt very, very warm and very, very comfortable. And we do have quite a few widows, widowers who are living here. And routinely, they are invited for all of those things. And they become our friends.
Beautiful.
So, you know, they become our friends. We go out now, even while COVID is, if we want to go for a walk, we recognize the people who are here who are alone. And very often we choose to go and spend time with them. And that's not just us, that's everyone here like that.
It's wonderful. Okay, so now you guys are all settled and everything, and it's been a while, but how long did it take to make all the arrangements to relocate? It was pretty simple. You knew you were going to Fort Lee, you knew you were going to Baltimore, but to go from the house to obviously something a little bit smaller and just to move so far away, it takes, certainly the decluttering, the packing, the whole production is, I know people think of that as very overwhelming. How long, Sarah, I'm gonna start with you. How long did it take you to get the whole business done? How traumatic was it?
Well, I'm not gonna tell you how traumatic it was on film, on record. It's not easy, you know, that's the truth. But my husband had gotten the offer literally the night of Bedikas Chametz, and we came, right now is the 3-year anniversary. There were reasons professionally that it just took a little while till we could come. So we had that 6 months to procrastinate about downsizing, and which we sort of did. And you know what, it's hard. Take help whenever it's offered, hire somebody if you need to. My husband's suggestion was start downsizing as soon as you can. I mean, it's not simple. It does take a while. For better, for worse, we actually have a fairly large apartment, so we didn't have to downsize everything yet. So that kind of made it easier. So that took about a half a year. We actually were able to rent out our house in Cleveland for about 6-7 months. It's a very unusual situation that just kind of Baruch Hashem fell in our lap, where the people even were going to be away. It was a young couple. They were going to be away for Pesach. So we actually went back to Cleveland for Pesach and stayed in our house with some mostly their furniture, but it was a kind of unusual situation, right? This doesn't really happen very often. But so, and because we rented here, so we didn't want to sell our house yet in Cleveland because we wanted to make sure that it would work out and everything. So it wasn't until about 10 months after we moved that we actually sold our house. So, it was kind of nice because that meant we didn't have to downsize everything at the beginning. I mean, it's hard. It's, you know, leave yourself time. And even if you do, it's not simple. It can be overwhelming. You know, it depends how long you lived in the house.
You made an interesting point, though, the fact that you, on one side, you rented one way and you rented the other way so that you could make sure, I'm sure you were wanting to make sure after all these years, this was going to work for you.
Right.
That's exactly. Certainly an important strategy that people could take.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, that's the reason that part of the reason we rented here was because Baltimore is so big, we didn't know what neighborhood we wanted. You know, so that, and then we just, Baruch Hashem, we really ended up with a very unusual size apartment. We don't have that many bedrooms, but our living room and dining room are actually just about the size of our old one. And, you know, we're very central. So there are a lot of reasons that it's a good idea. But yeah, I think that was a very important choice. In retrospect, we know now where we might have wanted to choose or something like that. But at the time, it takes the edge off and you don't have to think, are you making the right decision yet?
Excellent. It's an Ellen. How long when you decided to make your move to come out of a big house in Jamaica States, that must have been taken a while.
Well, in some ways, it wasn't as difficult as coming from a different city like Sarah did. You know, I think that it's staying in the same general metropolitan area has certain advantages, but we weren't in any rush because, you know, we were happy where we were. And we were just thinking of being closer to the children. And also at the beginning, we had just heard about Fort Lee. We had never really heard of Fort Lee as a from community before. So we were really taking our time in terms of spending a Shabbos there, meeting some of the people. And we were looking for some very specific things in our apartment. And, you know, so it took us about 6 months of seeing a whole bunch of apartments till we found something that we thought would be right. And then once that happened, it really sort of moved quickly. Our house in Jamaica State sold almost immediately. And then it was just a question of having the renovations done here, which took a little bit longer than we would have liked. But that took another 6 to 8 months till we could actually make the move.
And then you were downsizing and doing all the other stuff, I assume, back in Jamaica States, figuring out
right.
What you.
So we got rid of the bunch. We had, and we still have lots of stuff.
We all do.
It was very, very difficult. Ellen, you may want to address
it. It's a large apartment here. We got rid of things that we felt wouldn't fit here, but it wouldn't really be right to say I was downsizing because it's a very large apartment. It's a 4-bedroom apartment. The rooms are big. We have storage space down in the basement. So I didn't downsize enough. I changed a lot of things. I got rid of other things that I didn't need. And we had built-ins put in that were nicer, that fit better in the apartment. And it was just fine. It was just fine. We were not in any hurry whatsoever. I really didn't care if I stayed in my house longer, but it sold right away, which surprised me, which made us try to push forward. And it was hard for me to leave my house after 43 years. After 43 years, I loved that house and I loved the area. My children were born and grew up there. It was a hard change for me. Initially, I knew it was something I needed to do because I wanted to be near my children desperately. It was very hard, but it was still a hard move. And it didn't take long though. Once we were in and once this became home very quickly, very quickly.
I just also wanted to point out that the move itself is very difficult, especially as we reach our age. I'm not the schlepper that I used to be when I was younger. So we did have movers that actually packed most of our stuff for us. It's still difficult, but we were able to do that. Also, in terms of the range, we know there are some people here who took 2 years to find the apartment they wanted. We had friends just a few weeks ago who met us down. We're right near the Palisades Park area, you know, where they're beautiful down by the river picnic areas. So they met us for lunch about 3 weeks ago. And they weren't really thinking of moving. And we were telling them about the community, about the neighborhood. They have children in Teaneck. And we said, you know what, here's our broker's number, you know, give her a call and see. So the few days later, they saw several apartments. They put down a bid on one of them, and their bid was accepted the next day. So within 2 weeks, they were on their way. So it really varies.
But the idea is you have to be patient. You have to give your, to do these things under stress is probably not the best way. Everybody, it seems for both, for all of you, you had to, you planned it out, and Baruch Hashem, it worked for everybody.
So the only thing was available, because not always people move, come and go, and every week there's something new that comes up. So if it's right for you, sometimes you have to wait for it, but if it's right for you, you take it right away.
Sarah?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I mean, it is good to take the time, but we all know the work expands to the time allotted, you know. So to some degree, I have a friend who's in the process of moving, and she knows, and I know that she knows, and she knows that I know, that it's just until she actually has that house ready, she's not going to downsize some of the things that she could be doing already, because other things come up and they're more important. So it's kind of balance, not simple.
Yes, and the idea of having to sit there going through your stuff and throw stuff away and pack it, nobody wants to do that. That's painful on all ends.
Right. And she would bring in somebody to help her, but she's older than I am, and we had Corona, but you know, she didn't have it. And so she's actually, let's say she has grandchildren who are adults and would love to help her. She's not so comfortable doing that because she's not living in the home, you know, so. I mean, sometimes there are other considerations that are making it a little more complicated.
Well, we're going to get to COVID later. Yeah, that brings everything to a different level. We'll get to that in a little bit. Okay, so everybody moved to a different state. How have you adjusted, or have there been adjustments to changes, let's say, in your healthcare? Have there been any differences or anything that you had to worry about? Sarah, I'll start with you.
I mean, obviously I had to find new people, but right. My husband's a doctor also. So really, I mean, if we have questions, we have access to, in Baruch Hashem, we've been healthy. So, you know, except for having to find an urgent care one Matzah Shabbos when we both felt like we had the flu, you know, and he did and I didn't, same symptoms, go figure. But, you know, so we called up a neighbor and it's like, where's the closest urgent care? They sent us. But otherwise, in Baruch Hashem, you know, we haven't needed anything.
Yeah, to know, any healthcare changes for you guys?
We changed our physicians. It was just easier to find people who were here rather than to go back into New York. And basically we followed the referrals from people, from friends here in the neighborhood. They told us which doctors they like, which doctors they think we would like. We tried it, and if it worked, it worked. If not, we tried someone else. And at this point, we're pretty settled on it. In terms of our actual insurance coverage, that didn't change at all coming here. We still have our New York insurance, and it's fine.
But what you mentioned, what was important, but both of you mentioned, the fact that once you make relationships with people and you make those contacts, that's always the best way. Yeah. You know, people refer. Okay, yeah, so that, thank you.
In fact, yes. Here, a woman, also around my age, who moved to Baltimore a couple of years before I did, started a WhatsApp chat for newbies and some old bees, I don't know what they're called, you know, into Baltimore. And that's exactly the purpose of it, is share, you know, do you have a reference for a roofer? Do you have a reference for a doctor? Do you have a reference for a dentist who takes this specific kind of insurance? Can't always help with that, you know, but like that. And so a lot of times with the opportunities for virtual connection, there are more ways to connect with people and get some of those referrals.
God bless the WhatsApp chats. Even for those of us still in New York.
What? We have something similar here. We don't have a Fort Lee website, but there's a Teaneck Shuls list.
Where
people will, you know, ask questions about whether it's medical referrals or roofers or selling household items. So
those are amazing. Are there any legal not that anyone here is a lawyer, but have you noticed any, and we're not giving any legal advice, but have you noticed, you know, just kind of hearing about it, are there any legal changes in your new state that affect you as an older adult? You know, sometimes, anything, I don't know, Medicare or any of those kinds of things, how the state changes, you know, new taxes or anything, or less taxes, anything you've noticed? Or you just leave that to the accountant and that's that?
I think you certainly have to consult with your lawyer and accountant, whether it's pensions may be affected differently if they're city or state pensions. One of the things I had to do was I had some money invested in municipal bonds, and I had to, before I had a lot of New York municipal bonds, and I was told to switch them to New Jersey municipal bonds because they would be taxed differently. So there are different, so you do need to consult, even though they're not, probably mostly not major things.
Any, Sarah, anything with you or?
Probably the biggest thing is that in Ohio, my vote counted, and in Maryland, it's less so.
Okay, but we're still going out there to vote. however it counts. Okay. Now let me just ask you, well, the next couple of questions are kind of similar. What recommendations do you have for people who are interested in relocating to anywhere? What general recommendations would you give? Sarah, I'll start with you.
So we thought of a couple of areas. We sort of touched on these already. One is if you're moving from a different size house to, you know, a smaller, which is usually the direction. I happen to know somebody who actually went to a larger one. She didn't have to do any downsizing. She just had to pack everything. But for the most part, that's not the case. I mean, you know, start as soon as possible. Give yourself time. I'm saying like the emotional part of it, to recognize that that's what it takes. But I wanted to touch on something we didn't say yet, which is that we moved from a smaller, I mean, Cleveland's not small, but a smaller community to a larger community. You were asking about numbers of shuls in Fort Lee. I mean, there were 44 shuls on the Arab list in Baltimore when we moved, and we know of three or four others that opened since then, you know, at least. So there, it's a much larger community, and that's where it takes some effort to be proactive, I think, in making connections with people. Again, COVID made this somewhat challenging. I think we were kind of thinking we'd step into a community situation, but you don't do that so much, unless it's smaller, maybe like Fort Lee, but you don't do that so much if your kids aren't in school, unless you're in a shul that's relatively smaller, like the shul my husband's at now is 300 people. So it's not the same as like the 50 to 60 people shul that we used to be in. So it's a question of being somewhat more proactive about making those connections with people. Again, because he's working full time, we don't belong with the retirees. And the people our age who are the husbands are working full time, they're already settled into their situation. So maybe we're in a somewhat different category, but I think it's important to think ahead a little bit and to think, you know, oh, so when I move there, where will I find myself? I can't always answer that question ahead of time, but even knowing that it's a question to ask helps you think about that ahead of time.
That is a very, very good point. Yitzhak, do you have any comments?
I agree with a lot of what Sarah said. Just to add to that, I think it's a very, very important decision. And a person, it has to be done very mindfully. So you really have to think about what you want out of the community and what life is going to be like. And I think it's worth putting the research in. So to spend a couple of Shabbos in there. The other thing I have to add to all of this is that I would not have moved into a community unless there was a shul and a rav that I really wanted to be connected to. And we researched that carefully as well. Our rabbi here, Rabbi Zev Goldberg, is universally considered wonderful by everybody here. And the shul is just a wonderful place where, again, we've been affected by COVID. But before COVID, every Shabbos, there was a Kiddush, and it wasn't just the Kiddush, it was a chance for people to get together. People socialized for Shabbos meals all the time. People got together for other things all the time. The shul has tons of activities. There are lots of shurim ongoing. The sisterhood is very active. There are scholars in residence over Shabbos. There are lectures in the middle of the week. There are all sorts of activities, whether it's arts and crafts class for women or a Tai Chi class for everybody. There's just lots and lots going on. The shul is the center of our community. And for us, that was a very important factor, and we've really benefited from it. And even during COVID, even though for a while the shul was closed, now it's open under limited circumstances, but there's still tons of stuff going on. There are Zoom classes all the time that the rabbi gives. We've had also scholars and guest chazanim and other things, even over Zoom, which we used to have live as well.
And also, while everybody is quarantining for periods of time, we still keep in touch with the other people, with our friends, and not only our friends, with other people in the area. We just call to see how they're doing. And there are times where all day long, we're just reaching out and being reached out to by other members of the community. We're still together. Even though we're all separate in our own homes, we are still together.
If people need shopping, there's always someone who will do it for them.
Yes.
And so there's just a lot of that going on here.
Wonderful. That's what my next question was going to be, about how COVID has affected, you know, each community, you know. So you're saying in Fort Lee, even though everybody's alone, they're still together, you know, however they can work that out. And I mean, there isn't anybody in the world who hasn't been affected by COVID. It's a matter of what's going on. And everybody, you find everybody is compliant with what needs to be done, all that in general within the shul. That's not an issue.
The shul is very strict with that. For a while we were closed. When we opened, initially we only opened for certain tefillos outdoors, like in a side alley of the shul. Now that they've opened the shul, it's very, very strictly enforced. Everyone who comes in wears a mask. Where there used to be 10 seats, now there are only 2 seats. So it's a limited population. For Rosh Hashanah, we had shortened, and in general, tefillos are shortened. For Rosh Hashanah, we had 3 minyanim, and each of them took maybe, you know, 2.5, 2.75 hours each. So we've made a lot of adjustments, but you have to reserve to come into shul for Shabbos, tefillos, and for Yom Naroyim. So everything is very strictly enforced.
Sarah, Baltimore is a big place. So in general, what do you see in, let's say, your neighborhood?
You know, the joke my kids say is that 10 years from now, there'll be a child who'll ask his father, it's like, Tati, when 10 years ago, we heard that there was this corona thing, and what was it like? Do people wear masks? And he said, yes. And he said, really, what did it look like? I said, come to Baltimore. They're still wearing masks there. that's a joke my kids say. But our shul, Rabbi Heber's shul, is exactly like you described. 3 different minyanim for the Yom Naroyim. One of them was outside. 2 were indoors, abbreviated somewhat so that there would be opportunities, you know, for people to stagger. Everyone has to wear a mask. I mean, it's I'm not saying this is 100%, and you know, I wouldn't want to speak for everybody, but Baltimore has, as I said, a reputation for being very compliant. And Baruch Hashem, the first wave, there was like minimal exposure here. We had gotten it before Pesach, but now there was more of an exposure. But Baruch Hashem, except for a few yechidim who are leaders, and we're all davening for them. There's definitely more of an outbreak. But as far as the community, I mean, the Rabbanim here work together. They really do. I'll give you a beautiful example, is that our shul is next door to a Sephardi shul called Or Mizrach, and on Simchas Torah in the past, not this year, they would exchange hakafos. So at night, one shul would go to the other, and in the morning, the other shul would go to them for one hakafa each. Or the shul that Rabbi Hauer was at, Bnei Jacob, Shari Zion, people call it whatever. The Rav from Rabbi Hauer would do it, and now Rabbi Rose does it. He comes on Tom Gedalia, they exchange pulpits. Rabbi Heber speaks there, and he speaks at, this is very Baltimore. They're very much working in concert with one another, and it's a lot of shuls. It's a major undertaking, major accomplishment. So
beautiful. Yeah. Let me just ask, does anybody have anything that they think that we didn't cover? that you want to add about your community or just about moving in general? If you had to do it again, is there anything you would do differently that might help people?
We pay more attention to the way our contractor was working in our apartment. Okay. As far as the community, really nothing. I mean, it just worked out very, very well for us. We're very comfortable in the shul, in the community, in our apartment, Baruch Hashem. I mean, for those people who are away, we have a lot of people who are away in Florida during the winter. It's much easier, I think, to be away from an apartment than it is from a house.
Very good point. Very good point.
Consideration.
Yeah. I'm sure that, yeah, so you have, so are your snowbirds, did they come back from COVID, from Florida? And they're going again?
Most of them did. You know, it's been very, some of them have stayed there longer. Some of them were here longer. It's just a very different kind of a year.
Yeah, let us hope it goes back to whatever normal is going to be soon. And Zara, any points that you have that you would have done differently or that you would suggest to somebody wherever they would move?
Yeah, I think just along the lines of what I mentioned earlier about giving yourself time to make connections in the new place is I think I might have wanted to have had a weekly appointment to talk to my old friends, to bridge it. Of course, I could reach out to them and they reach out to me or whatever. But maybe be a little more intentional about keeping those connections regular, not because I needed it as much to keep connecting with them. Not as much to keep the connections alive as much as just to feel good about the week if it wasn't, things weren't happening yet or that kind of thing. I think that part of it was, would be a nice idea, especially if you're moving to a larger community, not a smaller one like we're discussing.
Sarah, you want to tell everybody before we end today about your organization's JWoww?
Sure. Okay, so when you had asked us about support system, my husband was like, well, that's why you started JWoww, as partly to get a support system. I'll tell you just a quick thing is that when one time on Yontif, my daughters and daughters-in-law were all talking. It's like that twilight time when the men are in shul and can't really do anything yet for Yontif. So anyway, they were schmoozing. They were exchanging, as young women are wont to do, labor and delivery stories. And so I said something also. And one of my daughters-in-law turned to me and said, right, mommy, a woman can always talk about her labor and delivery stories. And I said, yeah. She said, is that what you talk about with your friends? I was like, no, we mostly talk about our elderly parents. So that's really, I'd like to tell that to people because that's kind of my impetus for JWoww is to be in a place where you discuss ideas that are relevant in our way of looking at things. We're talking about Shalom Bayis. We're talking about Yontif, preparing for Yontif. We're talking about moving even, but it's going to have a different twist. The questions are the same as we always ask, but the answers are going to be different because we're at a different stage in life. So I and Baruch Hashem Rebetzin Feige Horowitz, who's your guest tomorrow before we will have been 2 days ago from when this shows, and Miriam Lieberman, formerly from the West Side, now from the Five Towns, we used to talk and schmooze about ideas that are related to our stage, and then we decided to make an organization, and we've had programs in a number of places, shifting now to more online. Over the summer we did that, and if you're interested, hello@jewishwomenofwisdom.org is the best way to get in touch with us.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
And Nathan Ellen, do you have anything else you would like to add?
Just also, Sarah had mentioned the diversity of the community that she lives in, and I think Fort Lee also has that. We have really a very wide range of membership, from a couple of Black Hat people, mostly young Israel, and a few that are less or some even non-observant, and everyone is made to feel welcome. And what also helps bring us together is that we're a homogeneous in terms of age group, that almost every, there are a couple of younger couples, but almost everyone here is retirement age, a little bit younger, a little bit older. And most people, as Ellen mentioned before, have only been here a couple of years. So you don't have these old established cliques where it's just hard to move into a new neighborhood. Everyone is eager to meet people, to make friends, and everyone is welcome.
It's beautiful, beautiful. I want to thank Yitzhak Ellenberger and Sarah Bright. Sarah, you'll tell your husband we're sorry that we missed him, but he clearly is doing very important things. So we certainly appreciate that. We want to thank all of you for joining us. I'm sure it's been very, very helpful to anybody who's looking to move for any reasons to any place. But certainly we've heard a lot about Fort Lee in Baltimore. I want to recommend to anybody who's watching, Yitz had reached out to me after he saw the Florida program. We really appreciated that. If anybody wants to promote their community, they think it's a good place for people to move to, please get in touch with me because we're looking to do more of these types of programs because we want people to know that there are many, many places that are looking to grow and many people that are looking to move. I want to thank everybody for joining us and wish everybody a good day. Be healthy, be safe, and we look forward to seeing you again. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.